Today we're going to be talking about infidelity and cheating, dating in today's modern world, and all of the things that have to do with infidelity. Jessica is here to tell us her story of infidelity, talk about the uncheated code, and just have a sit-down coffee conversation about dating in this modern world. Jessica, it's so awesome to have you back. Can you introduce yourself and share a
Much.
little bit about your experience?
Yeah, thank you, Lisa, for having me on. I appreciate that. Well, what do you mean, my experience?
With infidelity.
Oh, okay. Well, I have experienced infidelity in my personal relationships. I've known a lot of people who have been cheated on. My parents, it happened with them, it happened within my grandparents, and it has passed this line of pain. In my personal family, but it not just mine, but there's so many other people where infidelity is such a painful experience. I was married for about a decade, and it was never confirmed. My ex-husband never confirmed it, but there was a lot of things that indicated that he was cheating. And in a previous relationship I was in, there was infidelity, and I had such a painful experience. And it really helped me self-reflect and look at myself and think, why do I feel this way? If, I'm not the owner of a person, I am the owner of myself and my own body and my own mind. Why is my life torn upside down because of this person's actions? And in the previous episode, I kind of talked about, I specifically say that because it's true. It's like, why do we have to be so miserable, and why do we have to feel so terrible because someone didn't want to stay within the agreements that we had within our relationship? Because we're human, we can't always do every single thing the way everyone thinks, And I've just had a really painful experience, a lot of experiences with infidelity, which has led me to an actual awakening within myself, which has brought me more to self-love and more self-worth and just more joy in my life.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Being in past relationships where my previous partners weren't completely loyal to me and feeling so distraught from it. So much so that it was like controlling my behavior. It was like I could never relax. I was always worried about them. If they were out and I was at home, it was like I couldn't sleep until I knew they were home. And then I was like, I can't effing live like this anymore. It's like, Lisa, go to bed. Like, why are you so dependent on this person? And I feel like I know what you're saying. Like having an awakening and learning how to love myself. Because it was like I would give all of myself to another person, giving them responsibility that they're supposed to make me happy, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. I know so many people out there are dealing with infidelity and cheating. I think I just want to ask you this question though, because I think everyone will answer it differently. What do you consider cheating?
I consider cheating, I mean, having sex with another person without, consulting. Not, it's not like you have to consult anyone if you want to have sex. Sex is a biological, that's why we're here. We're all here because someone had sex. Two people had sex. And sex is within our biology. Sex is, it's not the only thing in life, but that is what gave us life. And, that's just what I consider cheating. If you're in a monogamous relationship and you have verbal agreements within each other that I will just commit myself physically to you and emotionally, and you are my partner, but when someone just goes behind someone's back and has sex with another person, either conceals it. When someone conceals it, that's dirty cheating because, we all have the ability to make ourselves feel, and we have the ability to choose our emotions. But many humans on this earth, including myself, this is something that I'm still unwinding and unlearning and learning a different way, is that I can make myself feel happy. I can be fine on my own. But again, back going back to biology, we're biologically instilled to be in tribes and we're instilled to be together. It's not natural for us to be alone. So this modern time, since we don't have those bigger tribes and a lot of people don't have big families anymore, so we cling to relationships looking for that feeling of security and safety. That is biology, pretty much. But my definition of cheating is when someone does something sexually physical with another person without telling their partner.
Do you feel like, what about porn? Do you feel like watching porn is a somewhat form of cheating? Or what about communication with another woman, like texting another woman? Do you think those are all like, I've heard the term micro cheating. I don't know. Do you think those things are considered to be a form of
No.
cheating in any way?
Well, it depends. I don't think watching porn is a form of cheating. I don't personally watch porn anymore. I've given that up, thank goodness. But I don't, we're in a, we're sexual beings. That's not our entire purpose of existence. But we have these things that are, again, biologically instilled within us. And if anyone wants to know, it's like I have a lot of knowledge of the human body. I know a lot about science. I have a master's degree in science and I've been a registered nurse for almost a decade now. So it's like I know a lot of the physiologic aspects of a human body, thankfully. And because of that, it's made me question and study different and understand or learn different things about our nature as a human being. And in most societies and most cultures, we're taught to conceal our sexuality and that our sexuality is wrong and bad, and that's not true. So if we're all raised and we're just like, oh, it's not healthy to be sexual, and growing up with the healthy sexuality, I don't even personally know what that looks like because I grew up in a Catholic family and was always told you can only be with one man and you can't do this and that, yada yada yada. So I didn't really get to explore until later on in life. Which is fine. That's just my personal journey. But we are naturally that's just how we are as human beings, deep down inside. And I'm kind of forgetting what your question was. I apologize. What was your
Yeah,
original
no, I
question?
like where you went with this though,
My
because
porn and micro cheating with, I just remembered, with texting. If someone is romantically texting someone and planning on meeting up with them, I don't know if I want to consider it cheating. I would be bothered if my boyfriend was romantically texting another girl. And I actually joke with my boyfriend a lot about, like, I'm like, who are you texting? Like, I just, it's a joke though, but that's something that I used to do in the past a lot where I really felt scared and worried. Are they
Right.
talking to
Yeah.
someone else? And when we have that desperate pull of, like, why aren't you looking at me? Why aren't you paying attention to me? Why aren't you just spending time with me and only giving your attention with me? Is kind of that's it's just it's sad and it's it, there's nothing wrong with it. I practice monogamy, but there's so much more to life than that, and we cannot be every single thing for one person. Someone cannot be every single thing for us. Like, it's okay. Monogamy is, it's a good practice, and but it's not natural. It's not natural to our human biologic nature. There are very few animals that are monogamous, and that's where cheating gets nasty, is in most monogamous relationships. There's people that are that practice polyamory. And I actually have a lot of polyamorous friends, and I've never been polyamorous, but I've learned so much from them just by asking them questions and seeing what their practices are. And there's ways that you can have, you can just be fully free of just whatever you want, and that's where cheating gets messy because people are not fully themselves. Like, you don't have to conceal who you have sex with. You don't have to conceal, all these things. if you're in a relationship with someone who's monogamous and you're not truly monogamous, why, and you're most likely going to cheat, why would you be with that person and just tell them this? Be yourself, and you will find people who are like you that practice similar things that you do, and it won't be a problem. There won't be all these psychological issues that we have because we have a lot of psychological needs. And you know, it's like I'm still working on myself. I still need community. I still practice monogamy, and I would probably be sad maybe for like a day if my boyfriend cheated on me, but I would get over it by the next. I'd be like, well, it's his damn loss. That's his mistake because he has an amazing woman that, you know, he missed out on and wasted it with some girl that I don't know who, you know. Yeah, that's all I gotta say for that right now. I think I'm just
No,
rambling on.
I think it's like for every person, the definition of cheating is different because exactly like you said, it's like we decide what we value, we decide what we need and what we want. And then the important thing is having those conversations. Like if you're gonna date somebody, like sitting down and being like, okay, what are your boundaries? What are you okay with? What are you not okay with? And then compromising from there. Because I mean, my ex used to tell me that if a man is texting another woman, it's because he's attracted to her. Like he literally said, like men are just biologically wired that way. Like men can't be friends with another woman without there being more to it. And that's what he would always say. And I was always intrigued and interested if that was actually true.
I don't believe that because
No,
a father and a brother and a cousin can text their blood related female daughter, cousin, sister, whatever it may be, and there's no sexual thing. A mother with her son or a son with his mother, they're not. Every single thing is sexual. We are sexual beings, but communication is it. We complicate things. We cause our own problems. And when we have that energetic pull of control of like, I want you to do what I want you to do, and having that attachment, that makes someone more likely to cheat and do something that you don't want. Because you are so like not you specifically, but and I'm speaking from my own personal experience. I used when I was married. The man I was with, we were same age. He was not, he loved me and he wanted to be with me, but it was just for like a show and to meet this like social standards, like, oh, I have a wife and this and that. And he would just blow me off so much. And I would just cry so much and just beg for him, beg for his attention, beg for his time and all of this. And, you know, 10 years is a long time of, you know, being with that, but most of a big portion of our relationship, we were both in school. We got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in that time. So we were busy. So it wasn't like anything big of a deal. But when, you know, I started my career as a nurse, he's a nurse as well. When we both started working, and that's when things kind of changed. And, you know, I still begged for his attention. And there was like a quick switch in me that literally just happened, and I'm so grateful for those switches that I get, which are like make me that I absolutely change my perspective and I absolutely let something go and I lose that attachment. Because the second I did that, the second I stopped caring 100% about what he did, I 100% did not feel like I needed him or wanted him in any way. When I gave up those feelings and that need, he would not leave me alone. He did every single thing to be with me. He tried, you know, he went above and beyond to try to make things, you know, figure things, even though it was like all kinds of other crap happened or whatever. And I don't think he did the best, but I learned a lot because of that relationship. But because of that, leaving those attachments and letting it go and not stop caring, it was like intense how much he wanted to be with me and wanted to just, you know, worship me and be in a relationship with me. It's all about attachment. When we focus so much on all of these things, it's like, oh, he's not doing this, he's not doing that, he's not texting me, it's that attachment, that pull that just drives someone away. And when we
They can feel
focused,
it.
yeah, it's like the not everyone is for everyone, but there are some people that I do not like. I feel uncomfortable to be around and I don't want to be around because of how desperate they are. Everyone has a different level of intensity of desperateness. And there's still things, it's like I'm not perfect. I still have, I'm working on myself. So it's like, of course, there's things where, I could be a little bit desperate. It's like we're in a world with all these things and yada, yada, yada. The list goes on of life. But there's just some people. I remember there was this nurse that I worked with, and she would just, ask me and this other nurse so many questions, and nothing about nursing. It was about like our diet, like what we did to, look a certain way, or I don't know, just like all these questions about all kinds of different stuff. And it was just like this, oh my gosh, just like annoying pool. I'm just like, please stop. Like, this is
Right.
intense. Like, just back up, like, focus on yourself. And that's
Yeah.
where a lot of cheating happens, is because there's many reasons why. It's not always the same thing. Every story is different. Someone could just be with an asshole. A lot, I think a lot of cheaters are really just polyamorous, and they don't want to admit it because it's too socially embarrassing for them. They don't want to deal with the social ramifications of what polyamory means to other people. They don't want to, it's not that big of a deal. We're in 2026. It's not a big deal. Just be openly poly. It's
Yeah.
simple.
I also think that cheating has to do with like self-worth. Like you talked about, like if you don't love yourself fully and if you're not fully comfortable with yourself, we're always going to look for external validation. And so I know when I'm not at my best, like you said, we go through these phases of like attention, needing attention, wanting attention to feel belonging and connection. And so I will be with someone that I know is not right for me, just so I can feel that connection because it feeds something that's unhealthy. So I think when someone could cheat because they just don't feel great about themselves and they feel like getting attention from someone of the opposite sex is going to fulfill that. And it's like, it's an addiction, right? Like flirting, getting attention, sex, feeling desired. Those are all things that the human body needs. But if someone can't do that for themselves, then they're going to look for it elsewhere. Even if they're in a relationship, I guess. Like, I don't know what it is. Is it the excitement, maybe, too? Like, oh my God, it's someone new and it's exhilarating and it's like taboo. Like, for just a little while, it feels good, kind of thing.
Well, it definitely always comes down to, and this is my perspective, is a limited identity. Is if you're looking for excitement in a new adventure, which is fine, and there's nothing wrong with needing people. We need each other. There's nothing wrong with needing support. We need to support each other. We need to support ourselves. We need to have a community. But when we have these outlets, it's a limited identity.
Can you explain that a little bit more? Limited identity.
A limited identity is someone is a this includes me. This includes all humans that are not enlightened. I'm not
Yeah.
enlightened, and I'm probably not going to be, that are looking for things externally for any kind of stimuli, for any kind of joy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're doing something that that would cause like a pain, there's nothing that, see, this is where being spiritual and knowing things about our emotions and having emotional responsibility. It's like everyone is responsible for their own emotions, but we're taught something differently. We're taught to be dependent on each other for our emotions.
Right.
But when we're in, again, when we're in a relationship and there are, if it's already spoken, it's already where, agreements are made between each other, and someone goes and does something that's outside of those agreements that will cause someone else's pain, that could cause it, for their own excitement. That's their own pathway. And, it's like, if I honestly think that it's better to just break up with the person that you know that your actions, it's like, say you want to hook up with someone else and you know it's going to hurt your partner. You say, hey, I'm so sorry, this isn't working out, but you know, I'm really going to go on my own, do my own thing right now. But it's complicated human psychology that we have that gets in the way of us being free. We're all really free, but we imprison ourselves because of all of these made authorities in our head and made rights and made, you know, we all have a right to be ourselves and we all have the right to be free. And our true freedom is in our minds. But it's just the word I'm looking for, it's bondage. You know, there's a lot of people who practice monogamy, which it's good because when we have sex, there's an exchange of energy and it's intense. And it's, you know, sex isn't just like a casual thing to me. As you know, sex could create life. You can pass diseases to each other, but you can also pass so much love, which is the number one thing. Love and beauty and all of these things, connection and a deeper connection with source. Am I answering your questions?
Yeah, no, I think it's just more of a conversation. I think it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it comes down to communication. And then when we're like, I was always so tempted. Like when I was in a relationship, like I loved my partner and I was also practiced monogamy and I do believe in it. But man, there were times when I would meet someone and I was like, damn, I wish I was single right now because there's something about this person that lights me up. And that is normal. I think what's not, or that's normal, I guess, normal, whatever normal is. I think it's natural for people to be attracted to other people, and it's the way we handle it. So for people out there who think that they're gonna have this fairy tale relationship with someone who is only gonna have eyes for them, like that is like exactly that, a fairy tale. That is not the way we're built. There's always gonna be temptation. I think it's exactly what you said, like having integrity, owning our actions. If we make a commitment to someone, it's because we're committing to love them. And I mean, I think if you cheat and you don't tell your partner, like that is torture for the person who cheated to have to live with that. Like it goes into spirituality too. And then I feel like the karma that comes back is going to be like 10 times worse for them, right? Like, I don't know. I personally don't know how someone could lie to their partner and cheat on them and look them in the eye. I don't, all of it just is mind-boggling.
I mean, that's mind-boggling to me because I'm big on integrity. I'm big on being open and honest. But there's a lot of people who don't care about that.
That's true.
And people who it doesn't matter to them. They don't have that. It's not in their mind. It doesn't
So, do you
seem
think it's like
like.
an emotional intelligence level or like empathic thing? Like for me, I couldn't look someone in the eye. If I cheated, if you were a man and I cheated on you, I wouldn't be able to look you in the eye, right? But then there's other people who can go home to their partner after having sex with another person, lie in bed with them. Like it's just, I can't understand it.
It's just human nature. What animal, how many animals? Like, I think it's a penguin that is monogamous. And I know there's a couple other birds that are monogamous, but out of all of the species, the millions and millions of species of animals, they just go and have sex with whoever they want. They don't tell no one. They're just all free and independent. But we're a different species because we have a psychology. Not everyone thinks the same. Everyone has a different perspective of life, and it's a limited, again, a li that's an example of a limited identity
Yeah.
and different understanding. Not everyone hears and understands life with agreements that we are, you know, told to make, or that we're not told to make, but that we agree, or that we think that they are. Not everyone understands it. I'm not condoning all of these, you know, I'm not condoning cheating, and I'm not condoning, you know, being a volatile human being where you just lie and anything like that. That's just the way some people are. And we just have to lighten up and like stop taking so many things so personal, because everyone's actions are never about you. But there
Yeah.
are certain things that we do that can make someone want to resist you and want to resist doing what you want to do. I mean, there's 8 billion people in this world, and this is easier said than done. But when we energetically get in alignment with our true selves, then we call in the right people, partner, business, husband, wife, whoever it may be. We call that person in, and it doesn't really need to have like any kind of, it's just unspoken stuff. Not everyone wants to have sex with every single person, but there are people in this world that, you know, there's and that want to sleep with a lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's part of our human nature and biology. And I think it's the biggest thing is for every single person, the person who cheats and the person who gets cheated on, to expand their identity and develop their own like realization of thinking for themselves, instead of using someone else as an excuse for the way that they feel, or using someone else as a reason for their life. Because we're all here on this earth, and most people are independent, physically abled on this earth. And it's important, from my perspective, that we have a relationship with ourselves, that we develop one, and that we learn to love ourselves. Like I've had a very turmoil relationship with myself since I was a child, since I was a kid. And it's something that I'm still working on. There's still some times where I need extra support, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, people in my life help me out more in terms of with my community and or with being near me or being, you know, just in my life, and it just helps. But there still is like this perpetual loneliness that a lot of us experience. I still experience it. And it's a lot better though. It's not the way it used to be, and I don't sit in it as much as I used to. And I know how to be a lot more emotionally independent. And there's nothing wrong with being heartbroken. You know, there's, you know, I'm in a really beautiful relationship right now, and we had some turmoil stuff that we experience over the holidays. Holidays are always like some kind of friction time, you know?
Yeah, totally, because you're stuck with each other.
Well, not really stuck. I wasn't even in town over Christmas,
No,
but
I was
over
just
that
joking.
time.
I just mean it is a highly emotional time for the world, and I think collectively we can feel that
The
energy
paint,
in the world. The pain, the suffering is like extreme because there's people alone at home with no families, and you know, it brings up like missing people who have passed on and all the things. Yeah, for sure.
And you know, my heart was broken because I thought that, you know, we were, you know, things were going to change in our relationship, and my heart was broken. We're emotional beings that have a sexuality and that we have a psychology, and that is what jacks us all up because of our ties and our attachments and expectations that we have of other people and of ourselves. We have too many sticks up our asses, and we're too focused on the wrong things. And it's when we focus on ourselves and being kind to ourselves and being kind to other people and showing up. And when we focus on like a purpose and like growing something, creating something, then that really changes and expands our life. But cheating is, it can sometimes be a really devastating thing because there's people that get diseases because of it. There's some people that, you know, relationships can be a really turmoil thing with human beings. We're crazy. We're absolutely nuts as human beings. And it's just, I always suggest to every single person, no matter what suffering they're having, no matter what pain they're having, is just building a relationship with God or with a higher power in their own way. And it could be a religious or a spiritual way, whatever it may be that's best for them. And learning to build a self-love and a self-worth with themselves, and getting to know nature and getting to know some kind of craft or some kind of practice that helps other people instead of focusing so much on a relationship.
Yeah, the most empowering thing that I've ever felt is when I finally let go of that, like in my last relationship, is like what happened to you kind of happened to me is like I finally stopped caring and I took my power back. And then I was like, I'm going to be okay no matter what, you know, having that power and wanting someone in my life that I love, like I desire that wholeheartedly, but I'm never going to rely on them for my happiness. Would you say then, like, being cheated on was kind of like a really positive thing for you? Because it taught you how to, like, was that the catalyst for learning how to love yourself, do you think?
One of the catalysts for sure. It was a really turmoil and painful experience. But it turned into, it had a lot of benefits. A lot of
What
benefits
did
I
you
came out of
learn
it.
from it? Like, how did it change your life?
It definitely guided me to look more into myself and my reactivities towards what goes on outside, what other people do, people say. And it made me reflect. It helped me reflect. It always, I'm a super grateful that I'm gifted with self-reflection. Self-reflection is so important, you know, that everyone does that. But it really helped me reflect on myself. It's, you know, and realize I don't want to react this way. I want to feel calm and secure within myself. I want to realize how that I'm whole. You know, we're born whole and we stay whole our entire lives, no matter what happens to us. And complete, no matter what happens, we're always complete. Even though life chips away some things from us, from our psychology, it's our psychology and it's our attachments that make us suffer. And really just care more about myself. You know, it's like, why am I so pouring so much of my energy and my mind into someone else that doesn't really care about me or, you know, wants to be with me right now.
Yeah, I literally asked myself that question the other day because I went through a phase where I was really, really attached to this person and they didn't have the same mutual feelings for me, but I couldn't get them out of my mind. And I was like, why am I obsessing about this person? And why can't I get them out of my mind? And I tried everything, but it was like there was something there. It was like this invisible cord that kept me like obsessing about them. And I'm thinking to myself, they don't want you. Why are you obsessed with, like, they don't want you? Why are you still obsessed with them? Like, I still don't understand that because people tend to go for people that don't want them. It's so bizarre.
It's that energy pool, that attraction,
Say more.
because, you know, a battery won't give you a charge unless it has the two ends are touching, the positive and the negative. And it's, I don't want to say it's complex because it's not that complex. We make it complex, but there's
So it's
nothing
like
wrong with that.
knowing that it's not attainable makes us want to try and attain it more. Is that what you're saying?
That's an aspect of it, but when, you know, when someone is kind of focused on themselves and they're looking at their forward, they're looking at their goals, that makes them attractive. And they're not really looking at you. They're just kind of like, you're just there. And they're just like, oh, whatever. That's an attraction. You know, I've experienced, you know, expressions of OCD since I was a kid. And it definitely has improved over my life. And I used to have a hard time touching different colors, like different, like having food that were different colors touch. I used to have a hard time touching different tiles that were different colors. And I still, I don't want to say this, but elbows are a thing where I'm just like, I don't like elbows and I don't like being touched by elbows. I don't want to touch anyone's elbows. And that has definitely improved. Like I don't feel that intense thing. Like I had a hard time touching different colors or different lines, different patterns. I used to have that, and now I'm kind of over it. And another obsessive thing was thinking about people. And when I, as soon as I was like becoming a teenager, I started obsessing about men, like not men, but just, boys my age, boys that I liked. And that was something that I started doing since probably 13. And I remember I used to take the bus, and there was this other young man that would take the bus, and I would always think about him. I never knew him, I never talked to him, and I'd always think about him, like, why am I thinking about this guy? So it's like I've definitely had the obsessions in my mind about men too. And that's like a really peculiar thing that it just happens. And when we don't know how to manage our focus and our minds, that's something that happens. And it's okay.
It's almost like a fantasy. It's a fantasy because it's like I would fabricate these stories of what I thought this person was doing and like fabricating who I thought this person was, but really I didn't know them at all. So it's like we start attaching these ideals, or we think we know them, but we really know nothing about them. And I remember losing attraction to this person finally when I saw a side of them that I was like, oh, I actually don't like that. And then it made me, I'm like, oh, okay, so you actually don't know them, and now you're starting to get to know them, and you actually don't like them. And so we always think we know more by the stories that we tell ourselves, and we put people on pedestals too, for sure.
And that's okay. It's it has to do with our neuronal programming, or the way we program our neurons and our focus. If we've been practicing a neural pathway for years, we're still going to find that pathway. And
Yeah,
it's
that's a
not
really good
about
point, actually. It's pattern.
It's not about breaking it. It's like, oh, I gotta break this habit, I gotta stop doing this, yada yada yada. It doesn't have to be complex as we make it, but there are other things that we can do. But when those things happen and they come up, we have to give ourselves grace and compassion and be kind to ourselves instead of being hard on ourselves. Because trust me, I've spent years of, my life, and this makes me sad saying this, obsessing over men. And it's such a waste. It was such a waste of my damn time.
Me
But there
too.
have been stages of my life where I was not interested in men or sex, and I was just very interested in learning more about myself. And that was, a pretty nice time. And that's something that I still work on. It's like I have a really great boyfriend. I love him so much. And there's sometimes where I'm like, I'm thinking about him way too much, but I see him all the time, he's such a great guy in my life. And it's something that I'm working on. We're not, none of us are this perfect being that has everything figured out or our minds completely transition to the way we want it to be. But it's just, we're in this world with all this craziness. And I think that if more women and men too, of course, of humans in general, if we could, I always say these things, it's God, ourselves, and nature. If we could focus on those things, we would have so much more of a energetic shift on a bigger level, where more people find it easier to focus their mind. And there's things that help, there's things that distract, and there's nothing wrong with things that bring us wellness. There's nothing wrong with scrolling on, social media, but almost, you can take anything to a toxic level. So having things in healthy amounts, where we can refocus our mind and, refocus our frame and of life and our perspective helps. But dancing, exercising, getting outside, learning to shift focus. Some other things that have helped me in the past, which I don't do anymore, is microdosing mushrooms. That really helped me. When I would take when I would microdose mushrooms, my focus would be so present. and on joy and on the present moment. And I'm like, I wish I could have this all the time. And there's drugs out there that can help us, and there's so many things that we can do to help us, but it's really finding that within ourselves, because if we have all of these receptors for all of these things like mushrooms and drugs and getting excitement and dopamine from social media, getting other excitement from other things outside of us, if we have these things, these excitements within ourselves that are stimulated from things outside of us, we have the ability to do that and recreate it within ourselves in our mind. And it all comes in here. It's all up here.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how much we deprive ourselves of things that make us happy just because society says it's wrong. I
I don't.
also microdose and yeah, I love it. I feel like it
I'm
makes
like,
me
I don't
happy.
anymore.
And yeah. I use it once in a while, especially in the winter. I'm in Canada. It gets so dark so early that I need the vitamin D, and I just think it gives me a boost, and I use it when I need it. It's like there's nothing wrong with making ourselves feel better in moderation. I guess I'm just curious, like what from the past have you brought into this new beautiful relationship that you're in? Like, do you think that your experiences helped you be a better partner? I'm curious about that and how you handle communication in your current relationship.
Yeah, I attribute improvement or just a more beautiful relationship that I have with the man that I'm with right now to self-reflection and to lightening up and
Like taking life less seriously.
not yes, but also not being afraid to express my needs.
Okay.
And express
Oh my
what
God,
I
yes,
like,
because
my
I always used to think I was
preferences.
too much. Like,
Yeah.
keep quiet, just be agreeable, you know?
No,
Like,
and no, I tell him, I don't tell him this all the time because he knows, but I've told him like once or twice, is like, you know, I'm the prize, right? And he's like, yeah. You're the, yeah, it's like, I am the prize. We as women are the prize. Men would not exist without women. We obviously give birth to them, but their life force, their life source in this physical life is women. And for theys, thems, and gays and trans, you know, when they have that feminine energy, the masculine energy is the feminine energy is their life source. So this isn't just specifically for a someone who is biologically born a woman. Anyone who is within that feminine woman perspective, we are the life force to existence and to people's energy. Men can, you know, so many women can be so attracted to men that don't care about women and that are focused on themselves. It's fine that they're focused on themselves, but they would not be together if there was not women around. Women are the
Women are powerful.
We are the source of life. And too many of us, over centuries, over so much time of being alive, we have been put down and taught that we're not good enough and that there's something wrong with us and that we shouldn't speak or that we shouldn't do this or that. Yada, yada. The list goes on, but that's not true. Men could not even be alive without us. They could not even survive. If men are not around women, they go crazy. And that it's okay. It's another biologic thing. They need us. And when a woman feels like the prize and she knows she is the prize and knows that she does not need a man to feel like that prize or even realize that she is that prize, then men just come.
Yeah, that's so damn sexy to a man. For sure, for sure. Well, this has been such an amazing conversation. Tell us a little bit more about the work that you do because of your experiences and in your helping women.
So I created this automated course called the Uncheated Code, and it's an automated course for anyone that identifies as a woman that have been cheated on and are still dealing with the pain of infidelity. And it's a course that I created with the things that helped me over the course of 3 months. It can be done and completed in 2 months, but this was everything compiled in that short time. Because when I first was cheated on, I was debilitated and so emotionally distraught. And then 3 months later, I was over it. And it was because I did certain protocols and certain things that helped me get to that point of just getting over it and not really needing that person anymore. And then after I did all that, that person came back to me and tried to get back with me. And I blocked them. So
Of
I don't need
course.
them. But I also have a coaching business called Magnetic Soul Healing, and that is the uncheated code is within that. But the uncheated code is like for a group of women that want to overcome infidelity in holistic and spiritual ways, in metaphysical ways instead of doing toxic things.
Amazing. And where can people find more information about that?
You can check out my website at magneticsoulhealing.org. That's on there.
Beautiful.
And you can also check out my Instagram. I don't post very much on my Instagram, but that's an easier way to contact me on social media and also YouTube. It's at Magnetic Soul Healing. It's at Magnetic Soul Healing on all the platforms. YouTube and Instagram are the main.
Awesome. We'll make sure to have your website in the show notes for people. Thanks so much for this open dialogue conversation just about life and about what life actually is, like human to human, and what we're actually doing here on this planet. It was so
We
good
put
to talk
ourselves,
to
I know, thank you so much. We just put ourselves in too much bondage. We don't have to, life,
and not in a
there,
sexy way.
yeah. Like, this life doesn't have to be that hard and it doesn't have to be that terrible. This life can be difficult and it can be hard, but it's because we make it that way, but it does not have to be that way. There is another way, and we are to be joyful and peaceful as human beings. But there's all these other things that come along with us. So, and that's okay. It's all part of our process, but it doesn't, there's a different way of living life, and it doesn't have to be this Tetris kind of terrible experience. And neither does getting cheated on. It doesn't have to be a terrible experience. We can overcome it. We can do it. We can get over it, and we can be okay on our own and be happy, regardless of what someone else does to us.
Yeah, I agree. Again, thank you so much for being here. And last thing
Thank you.
before we go, what would you tell the woman out there who just found out she was cheated on and is completely losing her mind? What would be one of the first things that you would tell her to do?
Well, everyone's situation's different, and if she can, I would suggest going away somewhere by herself, spending time alone with herself in nature, and I would suggest instead of thinking about the relationship and what happened, I would shift to the present moment with gratitude and seeing what that person does have, not what they don't have or what went wrong, but seeing what they do have. And doing some inner child work, going back to difficult times of their childhood and seeing where they could send love to their child self. Writing jokes out, like looking up jokes, doing something to make themselves laugh, and maybe even going to a hospice, volunteering at a hospice, and hearing people's last moments, last time being physically alive, and hearing their perspective of what they're realizing in that moment, them knowing they're going to pass over to the other side of the rainbow pretty soon. Could learn a lot from people that are dying or that are injured.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Those are all really great tips. Again, thank you so much for this amazing conversation. I look forward to the next one.
Thank you.
Yes, and to anyone out there who is going through infidelity, practice self-love. Start there and see where it goes. Until
Yeah.
next time, take care, everyone.
Bye.